Well, good morning. Welcome to Rockwood United Methodist Church again. I hope we all enjoyed last week's warm weather. I know I did. I wouldn't look forward to it this week. It's supposed to be colder. And, well, we're going to be a little bit wet this week. It's supposed to rain. So take care of that. Announcements. Let me see. I don't have it. But the third Sunday is going to be cookie cake and ice cream day again. Please plan to attend. We just hope you have a great week. I don't think I have anything else to announce, anything I'm missing. That's good. We have a peaceful week. Thank you.
Good morning. Our call to worship today is stand up for Jesus, so I'm going to have you stand up.
With hearts overflowing with gratitude, we gather to thank you for your countless blessings. We are humbled by your love and your praise and your grace, which sustains us daily. As we worship, may our thanks and praise rise to you on your heavenly throne. We give thanks for the gift of life, for the love of family, for the love of friends, and for the hope you provide in times of trouble. May our worship be a symphony of gratitude echoing throughout the heavens. We're grateful for your presence in our lives, and we offer this prayer of thanksgiving with our hearts full of joy. In the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, we say, Amen.
Our hymn is, O God, our help in ages past.
Thank you.
Beloved, the Savior calls you. Will you follow? Christ's call persists through the clouds of doubt, fear, and worry that descend on our path. Will you follow? Jesus calls us to shift our priorities, to leave behind the baggage of prejudice and the grasping for position so we can truly love God and our neighbors as well. Will you follow? Beloved, receive this good news. You are not alone. Today we answer Christ's call together. Joys and concerns. I guess the first one I want to do, this is a reoccurring theme, but you know, we've had fires, we've had floods, we've had plane crashes. We just had a very, very large earthquake. It's nice that we pray when these events happen, but I think it's also very, very important that we continue to pray for these people. You know, just because the floodwaters are gone and the fires are put out, that's just the start. From that point on becomes the real work, the real problems, and the real challenges. After you get over the initial disaster, you've got to recover, and it takes a long time. It's going to take years. I just read the other day that even people who were not affected by the floods themselves, who didn't lose their houses or their property, they're still in very bad shape because they lost the bridges that go across the stream that ran in front of their house, or that may get to their street and gain them access to their homes and their property. So there's all sorts of challenges. I ask that we keep them in our prayers, as well as, you know, the initial times when these crises happen and these disasters strike. That's all I've really got. Anybody else have anything? Let me come down there. You know me, I don't hear very well.
All those ice skaters that dawned on me, you know, every one of those parents, that, I mean, their life has just been turned, you know, into a nightmare. I mean, I just cannot even imagine.
Did everybody hear that? I mean, we had, you know, on that plane crash, we had a group of ice skaters, and they have parents, and they have family, they have loved ones. And I mean, that goes for everybody. That's sort of what I'm getting at right now. I may have left that out. I mean, you know, the initial disaster is good, and it's great to pray for them, but let's not forget them, because there is an aftermath, and it affects a lot of people, just not the people directly involved in the disaster. Thank you.
Whoop. Let me share a joy. I can't remember if last week I did mention it. My neighbor's daughter-in-law was in a motorcycle accident. When she called me, she said, "I need prayers, Larry." She said she was thrown up in the air of the bike. Said, "We don't know what's going to happen." And I talked to her Monday, and she said, I meant to call you yesterday, but I want to tell you, praise God. She said, "We went to church, and my whole church prayed for her. And when we got the answer back from after she'd been in the emergency room, she had nothing broken. Nothing broken. Now, she's not well, but she said, I have to tell you, God answers prayers. Because she hit up in the air, hit on her head. They thought her shoulder was broke. They thought her leg was broke. I mean, there was all kinds of problems. like she said, God answers prayers.
And that is true. I'll personally attest to that myself. I don't think I'd be here today if it wasn't for God's grace, help, and blessing. As we gather here today, there are many reasons that we have come here. Some have come under compulsion. Some have come out of curiosity. Some have come out of a great need. Some have come out of a tradition. And some have come simply to dedicate their new outfit. All of us who have come will meet Jesus. All will have the opportunity to be blessed. All will decide what they're going to do, they're having met Jesus. May we all decide to follow him. Amen. Would the ushers want to come up and prepare for our tithes and offerings? Ever faithful God, who calls us into the deep waters of faith and trust, we offer these gifts with open hearts. Transform our offerings into acts of love and service so that we may catch glimpses of your kingdom and draw others into your embrace. Guide us to live deeply and to follow Christ's call to be fishers of people in your abundant grace. In Jesus' name, we pray these things. Amen. Thank you.
Our next hymn is Now Thank We All Our God.
Today's scripture is from Luke chapter 5, verses 1 through 11, and it's titled Jesus Calls the Disciples. One day Jesus was standing beside Lake Gennesaret when the crowd pressed in around him to hear God's word. Jesus saw two boats sitting by the lake. The fishermen had gone ashore, and they were washing their nets. Jesus boarded one of the boats, the one that belonged to Simon, and then he asked him to row out a little distance from the shore. Jesus sat down and taught the crowds from the boat. When he finished speaking to the crowds, he said to Simon, "Row out farther into the deep water and drop your nets for a catch." Simon replied, "Master, we've worked hard all night and caught nothing. But because you say so, I'll drop the nets." So they dropped the nets, and their catch was so huge that their nets were splitting. They signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them. They filled both boats so full that they were about to sink. When Simon Peter saw the catch, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, "Leave me, Lord, for I am a sinner." Peter and those with him were overcome with amazement because of the numbers of fish that they had caught. James and John, Zebedee's sons, were Simon's partners, and they were amazed too. Jesus said to Simon, "Don't be afraid. From now on, you will be fishing for people." As soon as they brought the boats to shore, they left everything and followed Jesus. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. In this week, our message is going to be talking about priorities. In what do we put our trust? By what scale do we measure our value? This could be a day for a statement of faith, a day to remind us where our allegiance lies. Like Peter in a boat, we have an opportunity to leave everything and follow Jesus. Or we could reaffirm our commitment to follow unhesitatingly. Now that, of course, means we need some space in there for confession. We've made this commitment before, and yet we mixed up our priorities again and again and again. In the face of purity of Christ's invitation and presence, we can see how far we have fallen short. This doesn't need to be a painful, groveling expression, but an admission of the distractions of this life and the longings of the self that keep us from the ability to keep our eye on Jesus day by day. We wrap our confession with an invitation to the Spirit to sustain us in our weakness and in our sinfulness and to guide us when we stray. As we confess, we must remember that the emphasis needs to be on commitment. Now, in our gospel text, in the conversation within it, we learn that it hasn't been a good night at all for Simon. Now, in those days, fishing was done at night. The fishermen would spend the night in the shallows, tossing their nets, and they'd pull in their catch. Then, as the dawn broke, they would bring the fish to shore and sell them at the market. Because of the lack of facilities for preserving the fish, this was a daily event. They did it every day, except for this day. This day for Simon was a hungry day. He had nothing to sell, nothing to take home for his family, nothing. They went fishing, they fished all night, and they came up dry. It might have been that he was still sitting in his boat. Why? Well, because he may not have wanted to go home and tell his family that he had nothing. It might have been that he was sitting there feeling empty as his boat, worthless and shallow, until that man came and asked him to go out into the deep. Luke says Jesus was teaching, and everyone kept pressing closer and closer. The crowd grew, and they pressed in to hear. So Jesus looked around for options, and he saw Simon Peter sitting there in his boat with failure on his hands. So Jesus stepped in, and he asked Simon if he would mind rowing out a little way so that Jesus could teach without risking getting wet, without risking the crowd driving him down into the waters. And isn't that an amazing thing? A small inconvenience, a little invitation, and before you knew it, Simon was in over his head. Did Jesus show up that day looking for followers? Or was that a bonus? Was that Jesus' catch of the day to find some followers? What was the lesson that day? I find it interesting that Luke doesn't say a word about what Jesus taught that day. In Luke's haste to get to Simon Peter's story, he skipped over Jesus' words. That's typical, I suppose. We sometimes miss what's there right in front of our faces. So again, I ask why? Well, because we want to get to something more personal. We skim over an article to see if our name is there and in it. We glance through the programs to find somebody familiar, somebody we know. We scan the crowd looking for a certain face. And in doing so, we miss out everything and everyone else. Jesus may have been talking about paying attention. That was a common theme in his teaching elsewhere, so there's no reason to think it would be absent here on the shore of the lake. Consider the lilies, he would say. Look there, there's wheat and there's weeds growing together. And look at that road, look at the seeds, look at the fields. Jesus was always asking us to pay attention to what was in the world around us. Like a preschool primer, Jesus said, look and see. It was never just the appearance of things that interested Jesus. He was really saying that you should look deeper. That is what he said to Peter when the teaching was over. Let's go deep. That's where the drama is, isn't it? Peter was open. He didn't know it because he wasn't paying attention, but he was open. He was open to going deep, even though it was against his better judgment, even though it wasn't the way things were done in his business, even though he had been unsuccessful the night before. He was open. And that small opening is all it takes for miracles to occur. We need to be willing to look deeper and to live deeper. We should all be familiar with this concept. As we read the Bible, either by ourselves, with our family, or in a Bible study, what do? We look at the words. And then we look deeper into them to find their deeper meaning. We do it all the time. We need to apply this concept to our daily lives. There is so much right in front of our faces, and we miss it because we look at things shallowly. We don't look into the deeper side of things. Peter knew he was in over his head. Go away from me. That's the first thing he thinks to say in the face of someone who lived so much more deeply than he did. Go away. I can't handle it. I'm not good enough for it. I don't have the strength to do it. Remember, Peter had been up all night struggling with his failures. Someone once said that Jesus doesn't come when we are well rested and ready all that often. Usually, it's when we've labored all night and caught nothing. It is when we want to give up, when we think that there is nothing left, nothing at all, when we think we aren't any good at life, then Jesus comes and he says, go deeper. From now on, you'll be catching people, he said. And as he did that day on Lake Genesaret, as he did because he lived deeply, as he has done for the past 2,000 years, Jesus gathers up those who live deeply and live aware of their lives. It is no wonder that when they came to shore, they walked away from the fish. They walked away from the biggest catch that they ever had in their careers. They walked away to go deep. They walked away to follow Jesus. As I worked on his message, a couple of questions kept popping up in my mind. Now, one of them really has nothing to do with the message, but I had to ask myself, what happened to all the fish? You know, did their families come and take them to the market, or did they just abandon them? And I guess I had the funny question is I had to wonder that if they abandoned the fish, which crowd was bigger, the crowd that Jesus was teaching to or the crowd that came to gather up and take home all the abandoned fish? Makes you wonder. I'd be curious to know. Now, the first real question that came up was, if I were to receive this call, if I was to be called to follow Jesus right now and leave everything right then and there and follow him, could I accept that call? I know I couldn't make that call on the spur of the moment. I would sit there and say to myself, I need to think about this. And I really don't think I'd have any idea for how long I would want to think about it. And I would also have to at least go see my family, see my wife, my children, maybe some other people. I do know that if I had made a decision to follow the teacher and I was going to go talk to my wife and tell her about that decision, I might have second thoughts about deciding to leave and follow, because it would probably be a very interesting conversation, to say the least. I think everybody else could agree with that. I think it would be a bit of a challenge, not to mention a shock. So honestly, right now at this time, I would admit that I could not do it. I could not just walk away from everything and follow Jesus. That may be a failing, maybe not, but it's an honest answer that I couldn't do it. But now, fortunately, we're not being asked to make that commitment. So if we're not being called to physically follow Jesus, then what are we being called to do? Well, we're being called to make a commitment to follow Jesus' example. We're being called to make a commitment to live our lives as Jesus did. Now, this would seem to be a far easier commitment to make, since it could be worked on as part of our daily routine. You know, and in many ways, it is an easier commitment. But is it really an easy commitment to make? I don't think so. I think not. To live up to it would mean that we would have to live our Christian lives perfectly, just as Jesus did. No one on this earth is perfect. The best we can do is to try and live our lives as Jesus did as much as possible. We need to recognize and ask for forgiveness when we fail, and we need to strive to do the absolute best that we can each and every day. Now, this is a commitment that I am willing to make, and I pray that each of you can make it also. Going forward, I know that I'm going to, and I would suggest that you also ask God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit for their assistance in this commitment as often as we pray to them. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen.
Please stand as we sing Leaning on the Everlasting Arm.
As you go in the coming days, remember that you do not go alone. God's faithful love goes with you, no matter what you are facing. God will not abandon you, for you belong to Him. God will fulfill His plans for your life. So go from here, strong in the knowledge that God's loving presence goes with you. Go in peace and have a great week.